Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Ron Fitch. It's the Coast to Coast Radio Show. And today we're going to talk about the World Series, some big college football matchups, and some big NFL matchups. The call number is 646-564-9874. And I want to start out with the World Series and the Mets battle back, jump off the deck, do what I said they had to do. They had to win with a wide margin because you don't want the game close with Kansas City. They won 9-3. Very impressive win. And what I liked is they showed some killer instinct. And that's what I said they needed. The game started out kind of rough. Hosmer, they get the score 1-0. But David Wright, who struggled, hit a 392-foot home run that brought in Granderson. But then the Royals come back like you know they will. Real singles, Perez scores, and then they get a 3-2 lead on a pass ball. So now they hit the Mets back. So the Mets had to do what I told you they had to do because you know the Royals are going to come. So when the Royals come and score, you got to score right back. And then if the Royals score again, you better score right back. Just to let the Royals know you're going to be here all night. And the Mets did that. Granderson homer to right field. And to me, Curtis Granderson has been the best. Curtis Granderson has been the best player on the field, both teams. It's almost impossible to get him out because he'll either get a single or get a walk. He's almost 400 with his on-base percentage. He's 675 slugging percentage. If you make a mistake, he's taking it deep. And if you can't get the ball to the plate, he's walking. So it's like Ricky. It's like dealing with a mini Ricky Henderson. And that puts a lot of pressure on your offense, on your defense and your pitching. Because it's just tough when the leadoff hitter always gets on. And then that sets the table, and Wright hadn't did his job, but he did his job yesterday. Let me tell you. And then Juan Uribe scores another single to make them 6-3. The Mets improved their lead. And that one was 5-3 in the sixth inning, bases loaded. Syndergaard struggled a little. He got a real big run. That was a clutch inning for Syndergaard. He showed me something there. He had 6 strikeouts. The Mets pitchers thrive off getting strikeouts to get them rolling. They finally got that rolling. The crowd was there, so that was big. And then David Wright hit another single to pile on, to drive in 2 runs. Actually, to drive in 3 runs. And that was big. I don't know if I would have put Herrera in if I was Ned Yost. I would have waited. I think you don't want to overuse your middle relief. And now, if you look at it from here on out, the Mets have the pitching advantage in every single game. Chris Young stymied the Mets, but I would expect him to hit him pretty hard. David and Max is pitching, who's good. And he's home. He lives 30 minutes away from Citi Field at Stony Brook. So this is a swing game. This is a one game that Kansas City may win. They're not beating the Dark Knight at home in game 5. Not Edison Volquez. Unfortunately, Edison Volquez had a death in the family. His father died during game 1, so you don't know where his head's at. So you have to favor game 5 to the Mets. This is a swing game. This could give the Mets a 3-2 advantage. This is a game, if the Mets want to win, I would try to get. And then go back to Kansas City, and maybe Kansas City wins game 6, and then you go with Syndergaard and get game 7. So the Mets have a blueprint to win this series. If you're Kansas City, you have to win tonight. You got to win tonight. You hope Young stymies the Mets again somehow, and your bats get going a little bit, quiet the crowd a little bit. The crowd was quiet when the Royals had the lead. Like, the Royals crowd stays loud. They cheer win or lose. The Mets crowd got quiet once the Royals got up. If the Royals could do that, that could really, really help them. But if not, they're going to be in trouble. Crowd will be on you, and that fuels the Mets. And I love how they came out hitting. And you got to play Ron Uribe. And he's been money with the Giants. When the Dodgers didn't hit, he was the one hitting. And he's a money ball player. You got to figure out how to either – you may pinch him every game in this series in Citi Field, then maybe DH him. You got to play Ron Uribe. So I think if I were to guess, this is an interesting game with Mattson. Mattson is still young. He doesn't throw it as hard as the other guys, but he's crafty. I like what Syndergaard did, because Syndergaard did those fast, but he really threw his changeup or his curveball the first pitch. There were a lot of first pitchers, so a lot of times the Royals took it. So now you're 0-1. So now he works from his strength. And he did that all night. And he pitched kind of backwards all night smartly. And he got them six. So he did his job yesterday. Now the Royals, they have to – the Royals are still going to battle you. So this is going to be the game. But game five, I just think, is just not going to work out for the Royals. The Royals win game five, I would be very disappointed in that at Harvey. I would expect him at home to come out like the Dark Knight and just blow the Kansas City away with his off-speed stuff and his fastball. Now I want to get to college football. And we have Ole Miss versus my buddy Matt Lowe team, the Auburn Tigers. And he's my buddy. Matt Lowe covers the Auburn Tigers. And he's going to be out there in Auburn today. I don't like Auburn in this game. I would never want to kick against Auburn at home against Ole Miss. I really don't like their secondary. I don't like what happened last week against Arkansas. They were a sieve. That was disgusting. To watch their defense, Arkansas is a good offense, but not that good. Arkansas just it went to like triple overtime, and Arkansas scored. They didn't even put up a fight. And I don't like that. And next year, they're going to have to go recruit some more defensive players. You know, you got Will Muschamp there. I know he's a good coordinator. So you got to – I think that Gus Malzahn and Will Musgrave is going to have to go recruit. They're going to have to put together a nice little defense to go along with all – you know, offense, no way it's going to be good. I think Chris Kelly's going to go off. And Laquan Treadwell, last year he got hurt in this game. He's back. He's looking for revenge. He's starting to really pick it up. He has 5 touchdowns this year, 756 yards. Ole Miss goes to Auburn, takes care of business. And they stay in the hunt for the Western Conference Championship in the SEC. Them and Alabama are going neck and neck, and they have the head-to-head edge because they went to Alabama and won. But they could lose. You know, you never know. They could lose one more game, and I could get Alabama in. But I like Ole Miss. I'm going. I want to see Auburn win, but no. Ole Miss is. They got 2 big receivers. And Auburn has no secondary. They may have one halfway decent pass rusher. So if you're not getting to Kelly should have. I expect Kelly to have a complete field day. Now, Auburn's going to score. So it's going to be a high scoring game. But I got Ole Miss putting up around 42 points, 42-35. Ole Miss. All right, the biggest barbecue in the world, Georgia versus Florida at Jacksonville. This is always a great game. A lot of times the underdog comes out of the woodworks and pulls off an upset, and Georgia's the underdog. It's not happening. I like Florida. Their defense is outstanding. Will Musgrave left Florida and left. He did not leave the cupboard bare. He left a good defense there, and they're really, really, really playing some good defense. They got tore up by Leonard Fournette, but who hasn't? Florida bounces back and takes care of business. Florida comes back, takes care of business. Their quarterback does what he has to do, and they win. I just think that, you know, and Florida runs, Kevin Taylor runs the ball really well. And I think DeMarcus Robinson makes big plays. And they find a way to beat Georgia. And they continue on in the East. And I think they're going to be the team in the East. I think you could see Georgia, if Alabama doesn't slip up against Auburn, I think Ole Miss is going to slip up somewhere. I'm not sure. I think Alabama's going to figure out how to get in there. And you're going to see Alabama versus Georgia again. And it's always been one of the great rivalries in the SEC. So I like that there. I want to talk about the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers played the Miami Heat. And Cleveland played really, really good. It was very interesting. And I want to say I'm still picking the Miami Heat to come out east. But they have to raise their level, and they're going to have to come together. And I think they will. I think Pat Riley will get that team because they're still trying to figure out who they are, who gets the ball. When Wade sits down, how are you going to figure out who gets the ball then? How does Green get going? Green had a bad game, and that hurt. Kevin Love had a good game. The role players, see, you got D-Wade versus LeBron James and Kevin Love and Bosh. So you want Bosh to have a big game. Bosh didn't. Kevin Love did. He had 24 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. Now LeBron had 28 points, but a lot of times he was really distributed. He got his points in and out of the flow of the offense. He had a couple jump shots. Really, Cleveland was hot from the outside, and that was a big thing. And the Miami, he had a lot of good looks, and he missed. Cleveland had a lot of good looks, and he made them. And that's where you have the 102-92 score. So if you're Miami, the one way the Miami's going to win this Eastern Conference, they got to get home court. So they're going to have to split with the Cavaliers, win two at home, and then win. If you lose on the road again, you win two at home, you split, and then you just outplay them and do what you have to do in the Eastern Conference. Because I think there's going to be games LeBron's going to sit. You know, Kyrie's not there, so there's still going to be losses to be had. And Miami's going to have to stay healthy if they even have a chance. I was very, very impressed with the Thunder on the road against an improving Orlando Magic team. And Russell Westbrook had 48 points, 11 rebounds and 8 assists. Kevin Durant had a big game. But Russell Westbrook, he's harnessed some of that wildness, and he's under control. He's kind of found the right balance of scoring and assists. He's just a great playmaker, and he's extremely explosive. And that's going to be a problem. Like if San Antonio has a Kawhi Leonard on Durant, but then Russell Wilson's going to go ballistic. Okay, now you got to move Kawhi Leonard over to Russell Westbrook. Now Durant might go off on Green, so that's a problem. There, you know what? I got to put them in. I wasn't sure where I was going to put them. But I love how Coach Billy Donovan has this entire team playing good. So, yeah, I'm going to make them a contender, too, in the West. I think the Jazz, they're improving. They destroyed the Sixers yesterday. And the Pistons are better. I'm telling you something. The Pistons are not bad at all. They beat the Bulls 98-94. Not bad at all. And then the Spurs destroyed the Nets. I figured that. The Rockets. I watched the Rockets and the Warriors, and the Warriors kind of toyed with the Rockets all night. They beat them by 10, but they were Golden State sharp. I don't know if they're big enough to beat San Antonio. Their perimeter is good enough. There's no answer for Steph Curry right now. And he didn't even play a full game because he's in foul trouble. He had 25 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. 7 rebounds for a little guy. Impressive. I don't like Dwight Howard. I just think he can't get it. He's just too clumsy with his offense. His defense is not as good as it used to be. He blocks shots here and there, but he's better at throwing elbows because of his clumsiness. He's just in the way. Montrezl Harrell is the guy. I like their front line when Howard's on the bench. I don't know. If I was a Rocket, I'd privately see if I could trick somebody into taking him and getting another player. I just don't see it with Dwight Howard. I really, really, really don't. But yeah, those were the games. I was happy that the Timberwolves blew the Nuggets out. They're playing for their fallen coach who passed away, Flip Saunders, who's not just a great NBA coach. He really built Minnesota. He made Minnesota back in the early Garnett days. And he's a good guy. You can just see that when you hear him talk. So that was unfortunate. He passed away at age 40. All right, now it's time for football predictions. The first game is the 1 o'clock game, the Giants and the Saints. Here I like the Saints because it's in New Orleans. The Giants never, ever play good New Orleans. I rarely pick against the Giants. I have to pick against them today. They're going to be 4-4, and they'll be in first place, I believe. And Drew Brees is playing a lot better, and the Saints kind of found something. And they go 4-4, they kind of figure we're still in the wild hunt, and they can get on a roll. And Rod Ryan's defense is playing a little better. Now, normally, if you look on paper, the Giants should beat the Saints. They will not beat the Saints. And the New Orleans Saints will march on and keep this roll going. And what's fun is the Falcons are good. Carolina's undefeated. The Saints are getting better. Those games between those teams are going to be fun. And Tampa puts up points, so Tampa's not going to be no walk in the park either. But I like the Saints. And then my next game is the Bengals and Steelers. And my guy, Big Ben, is back. That's exciting. I'm happy as a Steelers fan that it's coming back. I'm probably going to pick the Bengals. I do not trust this defense. This defense, and what's frustrating is you get these draft picks and you're drafting defense and you're getting excited about the defense and you fired your coordinator and now you're looking to run a less complicated defense. And it did not work. That worked against the Cardinals, which shocked me. But it's third. A lot of times with Pittsburgh, it can be 3rd and 17, and the other team gets 18. 3rd and 20, the other team gets 22. They're not good on third down, and they have to get off the field. They have to get some one and dones every once in a while. You can't sit there and rely on your offense. And Ben's going to be a little rusty. So it may take him a game to get going to be great again. He's going to be great. But as great as the offense is, you got to play some defense. I'm not used to the Steelers not stopping people. And you got Andy Dalton, who's as efficient as he's been all his career. You know, 1,761 yards, 14 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. I mean, that's fantastic. And Giovanni Bernard out of the backfield scares me. Because he can catch the ball. Running with Hill and Bernard, the Steelers are decent against the run at home. But that might not matter if you have a backup cornerback playing A.J. Green. You can't go one-on-one with A.J. Green. But then Kyle Eifert might hurt you. And then Mohamed Sanu might hurt you. Oh, man. I don't know. Should I look forward to watching this tomorrow? I mean, the Steelers fight at home, so you're not going to walk in there and destroy them. But it's hard to pick when you can't stop nobody. You've got to be able to stop people in this league. So I'm gonna go with the Bengals, and I hope I'm wrong. Now Dallas and Seattle. Seattle needs this game more, but it's in Dallas. Dallas had an emotionally bad loss last week. Maybe they'll look fired up. Castle gets another game under his belt. He just flies into Dallas and plays. Of course, they're going to throw 3 interceptions. I expect them to be better. I'm wondering about this running back situation because Julius Randle left practice. He was a little upset he didn't play. McFadden played good. But McFadden, you got to watch him because he'll get 200 yards and he'll get 2 yards the next week. But I think Jimmy Graham and Russell Wilson are starting to develop that chemistry, and that's going to help. And Marshawn Lynch has got to play, and he's got to play good. Dallas, is now if Dallas gonna be able to throw against that secondary. The secondary's been getting beat a little bit, but they're still great with Thomas Chancellor and Richard Sherman. I don't know. I'm gonna pick the Seahawks. I don't have a lot of confidence in them, but they need it more than Dallas. Dallas could go 2-5 and be a game behind first place. They're just waiting for Romo to come back and to be around and to hang around, even though the schedule's pretty tough. And they're betting on Bryant and Romo taking them to the promised land, which ain't a bad deal. Then my next game is Carolina. A Monday night game is Carolina versus the Colts. Colts are kind of a mess. This reminds me of the year Peyton Manning played and Jim Moore was like, playoffs? And it was just a mess that year. And then the next year, Dungy comes in and they're playing a lot better. I really think that this is the year that the Colts are just going to go down and Carolina marches on. They go 7-0. And I also think that Carolina could win that division. I'm not counting Atlanta out. Now, Saints are going to have to go for a wild card because they're going to be four back. That's kind of tough to make ground on that. Unless you beat Carolina twice, that's going to be difficult. So, and I like how Cam Newton is playing. Even though he had three interceptions last week, they were like fluky interceptions. He's efficient. And Carolina's not going to blow you away, but they're going to run all over you. They're going to play really good defense because they got superb linebackers. They may have the best cornerback in the entire league in Norman, even over Sherman and Revis. So they got a great nucleus. Now, finally, the game I wanted to talk about, and that's Denver and the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers was on a huge roll. 15. If you look at Aaron Rodgers' number and Peyton Manning number, you got to pick Green Bay to go up to Denver Stadium and win. But I'm not. I'm going to go against conventional wisdom. I'm going to go against my own conventional wisdom because in my heart, I'm saying, Ron, you're doing a show, you better pick Green Bay. I'm going to pick Denver at home. Their defense is going to be able to slow the Packers down. And their secondary is fantastic. And that's what you have to have a good secondary to get Green Bay. I'm picking Green Bay. I'm looking at Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers' numbers. And I wonder if I should question my sanity. 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions for Aaron Rodgers, 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions for Peyton Manning. And I'm picking Peyton Manning's team. I think Peyton Manning gets off the deck and plays a good game. 3 or 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's going to get sacked a few times. The Packers have a good pass rush with Julius Peppers and them boys. And Matthew's flying off the edge. But Green Bay, they're vulnerable, though. You could move on Green Bay's defense. I've seen San Diego do it. I'm not completely sold on their defense. So I am riding the Denver Broncos. So there you have it. I got the Mets winning the next two games. I got the Broncos winning. I have Ole Miss winning on the road. So I went on a limb and made some predictions. I picked the Miami Heat to go to the finals, even though everybody looked at that game against the Cavaliers just said, are you kidding me? I just think that over the long haul, they're going to get better with Green and Winslow. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if the Cavaliers went to the finals because if Kyrie comes back, that's a very formidable threesome. You got to be hard-pressed to try to stop Love from shooting outside. He's a decent rebounder as far as offensively, decent in the post, but he kind of finds his rhythm and finds crevices when LeBron drives or Mo Williams drives and kicks it out, and then he's usually open and then you're in trouble. And he's a very good foul shooter. But I'm expecting Hassan Whiteside to get better. I'm expecting Miami to go to that level where Cleveland is. They're not there yet. But collectively as a team, they have to take their level of play, raise it super high, and then get the home field. That's how you win. So Monday, We're going to talk about all my predictions and see where I was right and where I was wrong.